Today on Commuter Bible, Jezebel and Ahab murder a man for the sake of their own convenience. It's 1 Kings chapters 20 through 22 and Psalm 83. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. Today's episode is one of many prophets. King Ahab of Israel goes to battle with Ben-Hadad of Aram, and when he does, the Lord sends a prophet to alert Ahab that the Lord will win the battle for Israel so that Ahab will know that he alone is God. When Ahab spares Ben-Hadad instead of destroying him, the Lord sends a prophet to pronounce judgment. The prophet Elijah pronounces judgment upon Ahab after the king claims a murdered man's vineyard slaughtered by the schemes of Ahab's wife Jezebel. Later, the prophet Micaiah shares a vision of the Lord's throne room where God permits a lying spirit to bring about Ahab's demise. 1 Kings, chapters 20 through 22. Now King Ben-Hadad of Aram assembled his entire army. 32 kings, along with horses and chariots, were with him. He marched up, besieged Samaria, and fought against it. He sent messengers into the city to King Ahab of Israel and said to him, "This is what Ben-Hadad says, your silver and your gold are mine, and your best wives and children are mine as well." Then the king of Israel answered, "Just as you say, my lord the king, I am yours, along with all that I have." The messengers then returned and said, "This is what Ben-Hadad says. I have sent messengers to you saying, you are to give me your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children. But at this time tomorrow, I will send my servants to you, and they will search your palace and your servants' houses. They will lay their hands on and take away whatever is precious to you." Then the king of Israel called for all the elders of the land and said, "Recognize that this one is only looking for trouble, for he demanded my wives, my children, my silver, and my gold, and I didn't turn him down." All the elders and all the people said to him, "Don't listen or agree." So he said to Ben-Hadad's messengers,
"Say to my lord the king, everything you demanded of your servant the first time, I will do. But this thing, I cannot do."
So the messengers left and took word back to him. Then Ben-Hadad sent messengers to him and said,
"May the gods punish me and do so severely, if Samaria's dust amounts to a handful for each of the people who follow me."
The king of Israel answered,
"Say this, don't let the one who puts on his armor boast like the one who takes it off."
When Ben-Hadad heard this response, while he and the kings were drinking in their quarters, he said to his servants,
"Take your positions."
So they took their positions against the city. A prophet approached King Ahab of Israel and said, "This is what the Lord says. Do you see this whole huge army? Watch. I am handing it over to you today so that you may know that I am the Lord." Ahab asked,
"By whom?"
And the prophet said,
"This is what the Lord says, by the young men of the provincial leaders."
Then he asked,
"Who is to start the battle?"
He said, "You." So Ahab mobilized the young men of the provincial leaders, and there were 232. After them, he mobilized all the Israelite troops, 7,000. They marched out at noon while Ben-Hadad and the 32 kings who were helping him were getting drunk in their quarters.
the young men of the provincial leaders marched out first. Then Ben-Hadad sent out scouts, and they reported to him, saying, "Men are marching out of Samaria!" So he said,
"If they have marched out in peace, take them alive. And if they have marched out for battle, take them alive."
The young men of the provincial leaders and the army behind them marched out from the city, and each one struck down his opponent. So the Arameans fled, and Israel pursued them. But King Ben-Hadad of Aram escaped on a horse with the cavalry. Then the king of Israel marched out and attacked the cavalry and the chariots. He inflicted a severe slaughter on Aram. The prophet approached the king of Israel and said to him,
"Go and strengthen yourself. Then consider carefully what you should do, for in the spring the king of Aram will attack you."
So the king of Aram's servant said to him,
"Their gods are gods of the hill country. That's why they were stronger than we were. Instead, we should fight with them on the plain. Then we will certainly be stronger than they are. Also, do this. Remove each king from his position and appoint captains in their place. Raise another army for yourself like the army you lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. And let's fight with them on the plain. And we will certainly be stronger than they are."
The king listened to them and did it. In the spring, Ben-Hadad mobilized the Arameans and went up to Aphek to battle Israel. The Israelites mobilized, gathered supplies, and went to fight them. The Israelites camped in front of them like two little flocks of goats, while the Arameans filled the landscape. Then the man of God approached and said to the king of Israel,
"This is what the Lord says. Because the Arameans have said, 'The Lord is a God of the mountains and not a God of the valleys,' I will hand over all this whole huge army to you. Then you will know that I am the Lord."
They camped opposite each other for 7 days. On the seventh day, the battle took place, and the Israelites struck down the Arameans, 100,000 foot soldiers in one day. The ones who remained fled into the city of Aphek, and the wall fell on those 27,000 remaining men. Ben-Hadad had also fled and went into an inner room in the city. His servant said to him,
"Consider this. We have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. So let's put sackcloth around our waists and ropes around our heads, and let's go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will spare your life."
So they dressed with sackcloth around their waists and ropes around their heads, went to the king of Israel, and said,
"Your servant, Ben-Hadad, says, 'Please spare my life.'"
So he said,
"Is he still alive?" "He is my brother."
Now the men were looking for a sign of hope, so they quickly picked up on this and responded,
"Yes, it is your brother, Ben-Hadad."
Then he said,
"Go and bring him."
So Ben-Hadad came out to him, and Ahab had him come up into the chariot. Then Ben-Hadad said to him,
"I restore to you the cities that my father took from your father, and you may set up marketplaces for yourself in Damascus, like my father set up in Samaria."
Ahab responded,
"On the basis of this treaty, I release you."
So he made a treaty with him and released him.
one of the sons of the prophets, said to his fellow prophet by the word of the Lord, "Strike me!" But the man refused to strike him. He told him, "Because you did not listen to the Lord, mark my words. When you leave me, a lion will kill you." When he left him, a lion attacked and killed him. The prophet found another man and said to him, "Strike me." So the man struck him, inflicting a wound. Then the prophet went and waited for the king on the road. He disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. As the king was passing by, he cried out to the king and said, "Your servant marched out into the middle of the battle. Suddenly, a man turned aside and brought someone to me and said, 'Guard this man. If he is ever missing, it will be your life in place of his life, or you will weigh out 75 pounds of silver.' But while your servant was busy here and there, he disappeared." The king of Israel said to him, "That will be your sentence. You yourself have decided it." He quickly removed the bandage from his eyes. The king of Israel recognized that he was one of the prophets. The prophet said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Because you released from your hand the man I had set apart for destruction, it will be your life in place of his life, and your people in place of his people." The king of Israel left for home resentful and angry, and he entered Samaria. Some time passed after these events. Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard. It was in Jezreel, next to the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard so I can have it for a vegetable garden, since it is right next to my palace. I will give you a better vineyard in its place, or, if you prefer, I will give you its value in silver." But Naboth said to Ahab, "I will never give my father's inheritance to you." So Ahab went to his palace, resentful and angry because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had told him. He had said, "I will not give you my father's inheritance." He lay down on his bed, turned his face away, and didn't eat any food. Then his wife Jezebel came to him and said, "Why are you so upset that you refuse to eat?"
"Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite," he replied. "I told him, 'Give me your vineyard for silver, or if you wish, I will give you a vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I won't give you my vineyard.'"
Then his wife Jezebel said to him, "Now, exercise your royal power over Israel. Get up, eat some food, and be happy. For I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. She sent the letters to the elders and nobles who lived with Naboth in his city. In the letters, she wrote, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people. Then seat two wicked men opposite him and have them testify against him, saying, 'You have cursed God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him to death." The men of his city, the elders and nobles who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. The two wicked men came in and sat opposite him. Then the wicked men testified against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, "Naboth has cursed God and the king." So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent word to Jezebel. Naboth has been stoned to death. When Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, "Get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, who refused to give it to you for silver, since Naboth isn't alive, but dead." When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, "Get up and go to meet King Ahab of Israel, who is in Samaria. He's in Naboth's vineyard, where he has gone to take possession of it. Tell him, 'This is what the Lord says. Have you murdered and also taken possession?' Then tell him, 'This is what the Lord says. In the place where the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, the dogs will also lick up your blood.'" Ahab said to Elijah, "So, my enemy, you found me, have you?" He replied, "I have found you because you devoted yourself to do what is evil in the Lord's sight. This is what the Lord says. I am about to bring disaster on you and will eradicate your descendants. I will wipe out all of Ahab's males, both slave and free, in Israel. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah, because you have angered me and caused Israel to sin. The Lord also speaks of Jezebel. The dogs will eat Jezebel in the plot of land at Jezreel. Anyone who belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And anyone who dies in the field, the birds will eat." Still, there was no one like Ahab, who devoted himself to do what was evil in the Lord's sight, because his wife Jezebel incited him. He committed the most detestable acts by following idols as the Amorites had, whom the Lord had dispossessed before the Israelites. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put sackcloth over his body, and fasted. He lay down in sackcloth and walked around subdued. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? I will not bring the disaster during his lifetime, because he has humbled himself before me. I will bring the disaster on his house during his son's lifetime." There was a lull of 3 years without war between Aram and Israel. However, in the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit the king of Israel. The king of Israel had said to his servants, "Don't you know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours? But we're doing nothing to take it from the king of Aram." So he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I am as you are. my people as your people, my horses as your horses.
But Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel,
First, please, ask what the Lord's will is.
So the king of Israel gathered the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them,
Should I go against Ramoth-Gilead for war, or should I refrain?
They replied,
March up, and the Lord will hand it over to the king.
But Jehoshaphat asked,
Isn't there a prophet of the Lord here anymore? Let's ask him.
The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat,
There is still one man who can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesies good about me, but only disaster. He is Micaiah, son of Imla.
Well, the king shouldn't say that, Jehoshaphat replied.
So the king of Israel called an officer and said,
Hurry, and get Micaiah, son of Imla.
Now, the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, clothed in royal attire, were each sitting on his own throne. They were on the threshing floor at the entrance to the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying in front of them. Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaanah, made iron horns and said,
This is what the Lord says. You will gore the Arameans with these until they are finished off.
And all the prophets were prophesying the same.
March up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will hand it over to the king.
The messenger who went to call Micaiah instructed him, Look, the words of the prophets are unanimously favorable for the king. So let your words be like theirs and speak favorably. But Micaiah said,
As the Lord lives, I will say whatever the Lord says to me.
So he went to the king, and the king asked him,
Micaiah, should we go to Ramoth-Gilead for war, or should we refrain?
Micaiah told him,
March up and succeed. The Lord will hand it over to the king.
But the king said to him,
How many times must I make you swear not to tell me anything but the truth in the name of the Lord?
So Micaiah said,
I saw Israel scattered on the hills, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, They have no master. Let everyone return home in peace.
So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat,
Didn't I tell you he never prophesies good about me, but only disaster?
Then Micaiah said,
Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the whole heavenly army was standing by him at his right hand and at his left hand. And the Lord said, Who will entice Ahab to march up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one was saying this, and another saying that. Then a spirit came forward, stood in the Lord's presence, and said, I will entice him. The Lord asked him, How? He said, I will go and become a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then he said, You will certainly entice him and prevail. Go and do that. You see, the Lord has put a lying spirit into the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has pronounced disaster against you.
Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaanah, came up, hit Micaiah on the cheek, and demanded,
Did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you?
Micaiah replied, you will soon see when you go to hide in an inner chamber on that day. Then the king of Israel ordered,
take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says, put this guy in prison and feed him only a little bread and water until I come back safely.
But Micaiah said, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he said,
listen, all you people.
Then the king of Israel and Judah's king Jehoshaphat went up to Ramoth-Gilead. But the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat,
I will disguise myself and go into battle. But you, wear your royal attire.
So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders,
do not fight with anyone at all except the king of Israel.
When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they shouted,
he must be the king of Israel.
So they turned to fight against him, but Jehoshaphat cried out. When the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a man drew his bow without taking special aim and struck the king of Israel through the joints of his armor. So he said to his charioteer,
turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am badly wounded.
The battle raged throughout that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. He died that evening, and blood from his wound flowed into the bottom of the chariot. Then the cry rang out in the army as the sun set, declaring,
each man to his own city, and each man to his own land.
So the king died and was brought to Samaria. They buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at the pool of Samaria. The dogs licked up his blood, and the prostitutes bathed in it, according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken. The rest of the events of Ahab's reign, along with all his accomplishments, including the ivory palace he built and all the cities he built, are written in the historical record of Israel's kings. Ahab rested with his fathers, and his son Ahaziah became king in his place. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, became king over Judah in the fourth year of Israel's king Ahab. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, daughter of Shilhi. He walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn away from them, but did what was right in the Lord's sight. However, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. The rest of the events of Jehoshaphat's reign, along with the might he exercised and how he waged war, are written in the historical record of Judah's kings. He eradicated from the land the rest of the male cult prostitutes who were left from the days of his father Asa. There was no king in Edom. A deputy served as king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold. But they did not go because the ships were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. At that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with your servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat was not willing. Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of his ancestor David. His son Jehoram became king in his place.
Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Judah's king Jehoshaphat, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He walked in the ways of his father, in the ways of his mother, and in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused Israel to sin. He served Baal and bowed in worship to him. He angered the Lord God of Israel, just as his father had done. Psalm 83. God, do not keep silent. Do not be deaf, God. Do not be quiet. See how your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have acted arrogantly. They devise clever schemes against your people. They conspire against your treasured ones. They say, "Come, let us wipe them out as a nation, so that Israel's name will no longer be remembered." For they have conspired with one mind. They form an alliance against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Even Assyria has joined them. They lend support to the sons of Lot. Deal with them as you did with Midian, as you did with Sisera and Jabin at the Kishon River. They were destroyed at Endor. They became manure for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their tribal leaders like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, "Let us seize God's pastures for ourselves." Make them like tumbleweed, my God, like straw before the wind. As fire burns a forest, as a flame blazes through mountains, so pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame, so that they will seek your name, Lord. Let them be put to shame and terrified forever. Let them perish in disgrace. May they know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over the whole earth. That marks the end of 1 Kings. We'll pick up in 2 Kings soon. In our next episode, we will read the first minor prophet in our reading plan this year as we read the book of Jonah. I'm really looking forward to that. I hope you are too. If you'd like to take a peek at what's coming up next, just head over to commuterbible.org and click the link in the top right corner where you can find a reading schedule for 2019. Today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson. Thanks for listening. And remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.